Harness Racing, Victoria wide. RSN 927 is Talking Trots.
Hey, g'day from JT. Welcome to a Talking Trots on a good weekend of trotting action out of Tabcorp Park, Melton. There are some very, very good races which we will dissect a little later on in the program. But firstly, it's time to look back at the week that was with the good form team of Blake Redden and Jason Bonington. Morning, lads.
Morning, JT. Wonderful to be here. I'm going off on a little brief sabbatical on the back of this this Talking Trots episode, so I'm very much I'm very much looking forward to trying to give the last little bit of what I've got inside me here, Baker, and then you can carry the torch on for a little while.
It is good to have you on board this early morning, given that you are pretty much on holidays already. So we are blessed to have your presence.
So that's dedication. That's dedication above and beyond. But that's
stick around for the good horse.
We're talking trots.
That's true.
And that's your number one mantra.
And that's it. And as soon as I, that's the thing. You clock off when you clock off, and I'll disappear to my to my retreat for a couple of weeks. But I'll be back.
Better than ever. Yes. Refreshed.
It's the case of Elvis leaving the building in about 26 minutes. All right. The week that was, Maori time is heading to Sweden.
Well, we think so. We hope so. It would be very exciting.
Arrangements are being made.
I read an article maybe today, this morning, or yesterday saying from the Swedish side saying that we haven't actually given out an invite. We haven't done the invites. We'll know in the next sort of 3 weeks to a month. But I think the team are pretty keen to go, obviously, sort of working out how they can get her across there. And look, she's already smashed the Australasian track record at Menangle over the carnival. If you take her form over a mile from the front row in isolation, it's excellent, dynamic.
Yep.
She's the best horse in Australasia at that, so it's a race that obviously suits her. It'll be exciting to see her there. Can she compete at that level?
Bit concerned, or just before I get into Maori time, about the fact that you didn't know whether you read an article yesterday, this morning, or today.
I read a lot of articles.
I don't know. But I will say this, that was the fastest time in the world this year. In the world for a trotter, 151.5. So if you're doing it purely on mathematics, of course you can be competitive. And look, I do think it's just a case of a few PR campaigns, there's not a bit of synergy there. I'd be very, very surprised if she doesn't get the formal invite. It seems to me that behind closed doors, obviously, that invite has been tendered. For Fred Cruz, the owner of Maori Time, to be tweeting that arrangements are being made and we're heading over to Sweden for the Elite Lob. I don't think you'd be doing that unless you felt that you'd been given the green light, and hopefully she can go over there and compete well. I'm going to take a little bit of a leaf out of the Baker Redden book here and saying I've got no really strong opinion whether she will go well enough to qualify for the final. Draws will be important, of course. You can run the time, but with the elite pressure and the very best horses in the world...
Travel.
She has got some really big obstacles, but I have to say just a huge congratulations and well done to Fred Cruz. And I guess this is a circumstance when you've got one bloke that owns a horse. You don't have to have a huge consultation session and work out between yourselves. Can we get a majority rule that we want to go? Fred said, I've been in this game a long time. I've been waiting for this kind of opportunity for a long time. I've got a horse good enough to get an invite. We are going, and it's the same thing John Mead's doing with Sparkling Success. And JT, we've seen it so often in the thoroughbreds for so many years now where we get to measure ourselves against the rest of the world. I just think it's great that we're getting the opportunity. How we'll go, we'll find out really soon. But the fact that we're getting an opportunity is just magnificent.
Agree with that. Bit of sad news during the week with the passing of Ideal For Real. That's sad news, guys.
Really sad news, given that I think, Baker, you and I are both of the same opinion that he would have been a Grand Circuit star. Certainly the way, I reckon, Clayton Tonkin, more than anybody else, the way he spoke about Ideal For Real with you. I mean, we were actually driving home from Kilmore last weekend and discussing Shadow Sachs and what a magnificent race he'd run against Soho Tribeca in the Kilmore Cup, and sort of saying the way that that camp has spoken about Shadow Sachs and the way they spoke about Ideal For Real was chalk and cheese. And that's not to be disrespectful to Shadow Sachs, but they felt that Ideal For Real could be right up there with Lazarus and Soho Tribeca and the best horses in Australasia. So it's always sad to lose any horse, of course, but this is particularly sad because we felt there was such a bright future for Ideal For Real after his New South Wales Derby win, and of course his wonderful run through the Futurity series as a four-year-old in particular.
There is a clear argument to be made we never saw the best of him. I mean, what we saw was pretty special.
Yeah.
But we may not have seen what he was.
Oh, it's like watching a 21-year-old dominate. Yeah. Patrick Cripps. We don't know how good he's going to get, really, do we? I mean, exactly. It's like watching a young player show off all their skills and be able to defeat those of a similar age group. But what he would have been able to do on the grand circuit, we'll never know. And I thought it was really gracious of Brian Carey on Twitter to talk about how privileged and blessed he'd been to have the ride with Ideal For Real, rather than, I guess, lamenting the fact that his great horse was gone.
And also, Whirly School will wear his Vic Bred colours tonight at Melton. So
terrific.
She'll have the Ideal For Real colours on, a bit of a tribute to him tonight at Melton.
You just touched on it briefly when talking about the passing of Ideal For Real. Soho Tribeca winning the Group 2 Kilmore Cup. It was a great win, but as you said, it wasn't just one-way traffic.
It certainly wasn't, and like, if you could bottle the race, you would replay it every week, and I think that it would be, you know, a huge fillip for harness racing, because we just don't get enough of these races where you've got a very, very good horse in Shadow Sachs who's willing to throw down the challenge to an even better horse in Soho Tribeca and say, I'm going to park you. If you're good enough to beat me, terrific, but I'm not going to give you the race. And that's what happened. Shadow Sachs led, and in fact, the puppet ran along and said, I know you're a great horse, I know you're a tough stayer, but can you beat me while I'm in front running times that are going to put you out of your comfort zone? And Soho Tribeca did that. So while it was a narrow win, it was a massively impressive win, Baker. I'll tell you one thing, though, and going into the Melton Plate tonight, it's hard for me to question Soho Tribeca's ability to back up, because he did it so incredibly well after running time in the Miracle Mile qualifier and into the Miracle Mile. That short course racing, both those horses were out on their feet in the final 200 metres of that Kilmore Cup, and now they have to back up tonight.
And that is probably the difference to the Miracle Mile sprint trip. They didn't, you know, they weren't tiring viciously in the heat, were they? Whereas they were running the, you know, the slowest course.
They were going up and down, on the one spot.
Also, big props to Little Messini, who put his head down as he does and just charged on into third. Another 100 metres, he may have even scared them. But it was a real race. It's, I think, a race that the Kilmore Cup deserves, being such a prestigious race in the sport. And it was terrific to see Shadow Sachs stand up to that level, and also Soho Tribeca to, I guess, quell those little doubts that some people to my right may have had about his ability to run big races but not quite get the job done.
I did tip him.
Yeah. It was good.
What else has been happening, guys?
There's plenty going on. We should touch on
Regal Pepperell. I think Pepperell's probably from the same program at Kilmore. This is where I will put my hand up. Big mea culpa that I didn't believe that she was capable of winning that race. And it wasn't because I didn't think she was a great stayer. I think there might have been a little bit of lost in translation stuff there. I just felt that when a horse makes rapid progression in either code, there is an end point normally. You don't know exactly where it is, but you sort of think you can come this far, and that's as far as the Luckaban will stretch. She's gone there and gone again, I think, by winning the Kilmore Trotters Cup the way she did. She got a really nice, sweet trip, pulled out when Anne-Marie wanted to, and the race was run to suit to a degree. But I will say that I'm now almost of the opinion where I can't talk about what her limit is, Baker, ever again until she sort of cuts back or gets beaten badly in a race, because right now she's getting better every single time she goes around, and this has now been going on for a couple of months, and it was a wonderful win on Saturday.
And I still don't think she's the complete product. You sort of mentioned after the weekend that she trotted really well. I still think on that final corner she was a little bit choppy in her action, and that's been her downfall late in the race. She's galloped regularly, so she is still getting better, and I think she's still got sort of scope to improve on that front. So you know, it is a case of you just have to keep putting her up against better horses and see where she lands, because she continues to take those steps.
Talking Trot's run of the week.
All right, lads, 3, 2, 1. We'll kick off with a one.
All right, we're going to start with Kilmore last Saturday night, and Bond's not overly happy with me here, but I'm definitely putting into the black book Dansbro, because I thought his win was terrific. Now, I'm not going to mention him in the same class as a horse like Lenny the Shark, but in the way that he actually sort of...
What the hell's going on here?
He saw the horse coming on the inside, Better Man Stride. I think he really dug in that last 50 metres when he was headed, if not at least joined by Better Man Stride, and I'm confident he's going to go right through his classes, Dansborough. I said he's not in the same class, but just that will to win.
I'm glad you clarified, because everyone else would have been thinking these two horses are virtually replicas of one another. Two votes for me.
I reckon
Dansborough's a dead set since Brennan, by the way, so I think he can improve. My two votes, and you don't agree with me on this one, Baker, but I thought Into the Unknown on Saturday night at Kilmore was absolutely outstanding.
Mm.
Lost, I reckon, at least 70 metres at the start.
Tacked on
in the final circuit and was running all the way. Well, sometimes you do get a different insight when you're so close to the track, when you're doing the interviews and you can see the horses running past you. She was, I think, flat out trying to tack on, and she only really got tired in a 3,150-metre race, mind you, I reckon, in the last 300 metres. So while she got beaten 28.8 metres, well, she wouldn't want to gallop again, but while she got beaten 28.8 metres, she's made up a stack of ground and they were running most of the way. That's two votes. Three votes is...
One from the little, you know, behind the scenes, you have to be watching very closely, but Aldebaran Poppy from Echuca on Wednesday.
Frank Ryan Raceway.
The run of the week. A lot of horses galloped at Echuca during the week. Aldebaran Poppy was one of them, but did a really good job to get back down. Terrific drive by Monty Burnett. Got the horse into the right spot mid-race, pulled out, and nearly knocked off Lavina, who has ability. So Aldebaran Poppy is on a sharp upward spiral and will be winning soon.
All right, so there's the 3-2-1 from the lads. Drive for the week, boys.
The Candyman.
The Candyman.
Greg Sugars.
You've even got Lockie McIntosh calling him the Candyman now.
This is what we try and do, isn't it? Just sort of seep into the zeitgeist, the public consciousness, or in this case, Lockie's consciousness. And the Candyman, he drove four winners on Saturday night, and really his entire week, his last couple of weeks have been huge, but his entire week's just been absolutely massive. And he's winning on horses. Ahmed Tabor told me a story, actually, about Vinny Chase on the weekend. He said, I reckon just... in this sort of class of race, I'd just duck back to the pegs and look for cheap runs. And Greg said, no chance of that. We're running. And ultimately recorded a 153.9 mile in front at Kilmore, which is no mean feat, particularly with that headwind down the back straight. So we're getting the big guns involved. We had a lot of smaller players for a fair while for Driver of the Week, JT. But the Puppet got the Guernsey last week, I reckon, and the Candyman this week.
Also,
Baker,
good to see him reunited with Ema and Macca. They won during the week. And Little Peanut, who's a favourite of mine.
Lovely bloke, Greg Schofield, the trainer of... the trainer, and they'll be staying at Lara J Farm, I would have thought, as well. So good luck to the Candyman, Greg, and also Emaine Macca on the comeback trail.
All right, lads, we'll take a break here on Talking Trots on RSN 927. The other side will take a good look at Tabcorp Park, Melton, this night.
It's how we roll. RSN 927 is Talking Trots. Easter Monday in the hills. Fresh mountain air and racing thrills. Don't let it be the one that got away. We've got good times at the races, a country welcome, friendly faces for High Game Mansfield Picnic Cup Day.
With High Country Greys on the Green, food bands, bookies and tote, live music, the Easter Egg Hunt, and the Lawn Party Marquee Package is just $60 per person. Escape to Mansfield, Easter Monday, April 2. Book a picnic pack or a package now at mansfieldcountryraces.com.au.
No alcohol or glass through the gate.
Who's got it?
Insurance company.
Who needs it?
Injured person.
Who is going to move it?
Henry Karras and Associates. Specialist personal injury lawyers. Call now 9001-1318 and at hcalawyers.com.au. You deserve more.
Renault cars are renowned for their motorsport heritage, which is built into every Renault car and van you buy. Renault cars and vans are also a rapidly growing car brand here in Australia. And to get the best odds when buying your Renault car and van, you need to come and see your Bayside Renault dealers, Peninsula Renault, Wells Road Seaford, and Brighton Renault on the Pen Highway. For a fast finish this month when you buy your Renault car or van, you must see Peninsula Renault, Wells Road Seaford, or Brighton Renault on the Pen Highway.
LMCT 10901.
The Week in Review, The Weekend Preview. RSN 927 is Talking Trots.
That we are. Let's get cracking on our good card of racing at headquarters this evening, lads. We bounced the ball at six bells this evening with an MO over the 2240. The winner, please.
Either 11, 6 or 5. I'm going with 11, Scotland Jack on top. Has really good speeds. The outside second line draw, while it isn't in position, middle trip... Great point-to-point speed. They are the things that can negate that poor draw. Tipperton has been flying. Four runs with Team Calder. The last two have been utterly exceptional. Was a talented younger horse in the Sunraysia region. Wide frontline draw, again, in position, rolls forward, though. If it gets into a striking spot, it can win. Was second in a very similar race behind Warminster last time out. And the other one's a really interesting runner. Don Pierre's figure form line looks deplorable, atrocious. Only led three times on Victorian soil, won twice. Reckon it finds the front here, and as a result gets its opportunity, Baker. Beyond them, you're looking at horses like Nicky's Idol. The High Roller at massive odds can go into trifectas and first fours, Striking Beauty and the like. Really tricky race to start us off, but if you're playing early quads, only need three numbers, 11, 6 and 5, and I've thrown 9 in for fourth.
I have a pretty strong opinion here. I think Scotland Jack will be backed off the map. I think you've marked him. What have you marked him?
$2 even.
I think he'll sort of open in places at 350 or thereabouts, and I think he'll start close to evens.
So I'll get it right in the end.
And I think he'll win.
Right. Mm.
Second race, guys, for the Trotters over 22.40. Early scratching here is number one.
5, 4, 12 and 6, my numbers here. Originally, I did want to tip Enrolled on top. I've got a massive opinion of the horse, huge opinion of what he's going to be capable of doing in his career. His first up run, he was backed as though he could win. And almost would win.
By your supporters, maybe.
Potentially. You just never know. Everything went wrong. And he has only trialled relatively ordinarily since, so...
Kilmore during the week.
Yeah, there's just a couple little question marks, and you don't want that when you're drawn outside the second row. Having said that, the horse I've got on top cruising around, he's like that bloke that's got a gun and just refuses to shoot it. You can look at him and go, you're not going to shoot it, are you? You haven't got the guts. And he's a great horse cruising around, and his three-year-old season was... utterly exceptional. He won the home field, he won the Vicbred Super Series, he won the Breeders' Crown. But right now, he's cruising up in his races and looking like he's going to brain rivals, and then in the last 100 metres saying, it doesn't mean the world to me whether I win or not. So, and that's a problem for him. I think he'll find the front tonight, and if he does get the lead, he's got no excuses whatsoever. The other key winning chance here is Margaret Ruth, who is absolutely... it's the one to back, probably in a lot of ways. Cruising around's got some convictions at the moment. Enrolled, we don't know exactly where he's at. Margaret Ruth, we know where she's at. She never runs a bad race. Second in the Tontine Championship, splitting Delta Sun and Variance, who has franked that form.
Might use her off the arm tonight.
To a degree, yep. And I think you already outlined last week that My Sky Pocket might be trending towards a win again. I can't 100% trust him that he'll reproduce that performance here. But he goes into the mix for Exotics along with Rift Valley and a couple of others here. But primarily, I think it's a three-horse race. The two real class runners cruising around and Enrolled. And then Margaret Ruth has to go into the mix as well, 5, 4, 12 and 6.
Tough race, but I'm interested in My Sky Pocket. I'm interested in Sky Majesty at odds and also Kai Valley Barney there. Sort of, if you're chasing a bit of value, they're the ones I'd be interested in.
I'll tell you what, they paid $200,000, I reckon, for Kai Valley Barney, and I reckon you might have spent that much on him on the punt.
I think I only tipped him when he's won. That's not true, but I did.
That's
tip
not
him.
True. At
I
all.
Did tip him when he won at Melton. At
over to you, JT.
Third race, guys, for 4 years and up. C1, 17-20 sprint chip, sprint trip. Two early scratchings here, fellas. 5 and 7 are out.
Look, it's a very fast front line. When I say it's very fast, there's a number of horses that I think are going to want to go forward and could cause some chagrin to the pole market. Coolamore, they being particularly Better Back Betty and Manbar Duke. But I think if Coolamore leads, and I expect he will be able to kick through and hold the top, and he did win a qualifier for this series, he will go very close, but I think he will be run past by Our Lady Madonna. Now, there's a couple of reasons why. First up from a break, she was favourite in her heat of this series. And while she was left flat-footed when they hit top gear, she hit the line exceptionally well. She's a better horse, I think, than Coolamore. And with that slightly lengthened sprint lane at Tabcorp Park at the moment, she'll get into the clear and get the run-up at that leader earlier than she normally would. I think she's one of the best bets in the program. 8 to beat 1 in a peg-dominated affair. Threw Madison Louise in for third. Conserved energy from last start where didn't really get a crack at them and still was able to finish fourth. And number two, Captain Snooze, he was really ordinary last start in a qualify for this series when trailing Coolamore in transit. But the win two starts back defeating Weeman Sporty from way back was really good. And if you could reproduce that performance, he'd be a winning chance here. 8-1, 10-2. You're rolling your eyes at me for some reason, Baker.
Nah, not really. I just think that Manbar Duke, I think he could be going in the right direction. So I'd be happy to have something on Manbar Duke, even though I don't think he'll lead. I just think he might improve a little bit.
Fourth event, guys, is the last leg of the early quaddie. This is the Stampede over 1,200 metres. Tab Fix have a market here. Mustang Bart's 370. Love in a Chevy 440. Audi Hare is 460, 550 Vinny Chase, and 650 for Mr. Wickham.
I'll tell you what, JT, that market looks absolutely nothing like the one that they opened with. Nothing
and
whatsoever.
Maybe nothing like the final market
and,
either.
And perhaps, exactly, potentially nothing like the final market. I'd be very surprised if Mustang Bart could start favourite. I know you're a big fan, JT, of C-class and M-class and what they mean. Well, this is basically a free-for-all. I know it's over 1,200 metres, but he's a C4MO, Mustang Bart, taking on Mr. Wickham, a C13M6, and Maximen, a C16M7. So they're in different worlds. They wouldn't normally compete with one another if this wasn't an extreme short course race. My numbers are 7, 3, 4, and 1. Interesting to note, there's been 7 editions of this race at Tabcorp Park Melton, and the winners have come from 6 different positions. The leaders won twice, trail horse, 1-1, chair, 3 wide, no cover, 3 wide with a trail. So they've done it from everywhere. There's no rhyme or reason to the race. The key is to find the best horse. I think the best horse is number 7, Mr. Wickham. I've got him on top of Vinny Chase, who was unbelievable at Kilmore last weekend, and if he led, would be a very tough nut to crack. Keying Stars is racing well in slightly easier grade, and we know back in the day he was more than good enough to compete at this level. And I've thrown Mustang Bart in for 4th, but I'll tell you what, I'd be pretty surprised if he won the race. 7-3, 4-1, and I'm growing in confidence all the time that Mr. Wickham's the one to beat, Baker.
Yeah, no, nothing from me really here. Mustang Bart, Vinny Chase, and Maximan, the big three if you're playing early quaddies, maybe.
First leg of the normal quaddy, guys, is the Jody's Babe, Group 3 over 1720. We take out Last Flight. Party On's $1.45 with Tab. Rocker Bandit, $7. Delightful Memphis at $8.50. Went up to Sydney, was not disgraced in that mare's race, only 10 or 11 metres off the winner. Very winnable race here, but the price is the problem.
Yeah, the price is ridiculous.
Well, open 270.
Yeah. I marked it $2, and I wouldn't want even a splash of tomato sauce, I wouldn't have thought. But
unless it's with a pie.
Well, I love tomato sauce with a pie, and I love a pie. And I'm going on break, I normally have one pie a day on break. Party On's on top for me. Look, she's been helped significantly by how slow this front line is for such a high-quality race. She was used off the arm very aggressively in that Sibelius Stakes that you referenced there in Sydney, JT. And as a result, she punctured in the final sort of 200 or 300 metres. She's since gone to Dean Braun. She's trialled really well in preparation for her return to the races. And if she gets the lead, she's definitely the one to beat. But look, $1.92 at very best. I can't be jumping into $1.50. Here are the dangers. Delightful Memphis is a wonderful mare. She was a terrific filly in New Zealand, and she's stepping up in grade, but I think she's capable of lobbing on the speed, being not too far away from Party On, and potentially causing her some chagrin. Whirly School of Place might be the best bet in the race. She's going to be 3 poles, but once again, I'm going to reference that extended sprint lane at Tabcorp Park, Melton. She's going to get a really good run up at them in the lane. She's been able to run exceptionally fast, 720-metre races at Melton in the past. And the other two key runners, Baker, the class ones outside the second row, Rockstar Angel, and probably particularly Beresari. Intriguing race. I'll play quaddies, but I reckon I'll stagger them up. Party On for the biggest stake, but a reasonable stake also on Delightful Memphis, Whirly School, Rockstar Angel, and Beresari, 2, 3, 8, and 11, my numbers in the Jody's Babe.
I actually think Santa Cruz, despite on face value not having competed at this level, I think with a peg line run, she's going well enough to reel off a half here. So $2.85 a drum. She should lob right behind the $1.50 pop and get every chance to not miss a place.
Second leg of the quaddy is race number 6, M1M2, over 2240. Warminster is scratched, so Hold On Sue gets a start off the pole. Sam's the Master Fix with Tab at $3.40, another Safari $3.50, Dynamic Bromac at $5, Jedi Mind is at $6.
Dynamic Bromac at $5 is one of the worst things I've ever seen in my entire life.
That's a bit harsh, but he's got a mountain to climb from inside the second row.
Is he even going that well in his 3 poles now?
Yeah.
Anyway, my numbers are 9, 13, 4, and 1. I find this one of the most confusing races I've ever analysed in my life. I've got no doubt the 3 best horses in the race on ability are Sam's the Master, who isn't, in my opinion, racing anywhere near his best. Another Safari, who I think is clearly the best horse in the race, but has only had one run back from a break, locked wheels on that occasion, and it was an inconclusive run. And 13, He Can Fly, who's first up from a break, and the market support, well, there hasn't been market support, it's drifted from 8.50 out to 10, so it's a massively confusing race. And outside of them, I think maybe the best betting option in the race might be Hashtag, who's absolutely flying, extraordinarily one-dimensional, has to come with one run. But I'll tell you what, Laura Crossland's team's flying. If he'd got some gaps in the final 500 metres...
$34.
$7 a place, I reckon. So in a really cruelly difficult race, I reckon 1 by 5 on it might be the best way to play. My numbers are 9, 13, 4, and 1. The only other thing I'll add, Baker, I'm throwing in Hold On Sue. I think it'll run a race from the pole marking draw. I will add that if there's good support in the last couple of hours for another safari, I'd follow it in.
Okay, well, I think it's a race where you can get value. I think a Special Dreams over the odds. He's 17 into 14, so he's probably meeting his right mark. I think Lanista at $21 is a really good bet, and I think Hashtag, you've already mentioned, at $34 is the other one I'd be keen on. So I'd be looking away from the market leaders and playing for some value in race 6.
Race 7 is the City of Melton XXIX Group 2. That's 39 in Roman numerals for you,
nice counting.
Sohi Tribeca's $1.15, fixed with Tab. Shadow Sacks, $4.40. That's where the race ends. Shadow Sacks ran out of its skin 2.5 metres away from Sohi Tribeca, who was coming back from an absolutely scintillating third in the Miracle Mile. The problem, again, is the price, J-Bon.
Yeah, no, it is. And look, you've got to respect the Tab boys, because in one way or another, you've got to take a stand. With a horse like Sohi Tribeca, you've got to say, we're either going to let you on, or we're going to let you on everything else.
And why would you let anyone on him at this stage, given what he looks capable of?
I don't have to take the liability. I would offer $1.30.
You'd risk him tonight?
I'd offer $1.30.
Okay.
I wouldn't offer $1.15. I would
That's why you're not a bookmaker.
Well, potentially so, but we'll find out. I do think, in the great, holistic look at this race, you'd have to say that you just mentioned Sohi Tribeca only just got past Shadow Sacks. I think there's a strong and convincing argument to be made that Shadow Sacks is slightly better placed over the middle trip than the long trip, even though he's a multiple cup winner. And I also heard from Little Birdie that Shadow Sacks had a hoof abscess in the Kilmore Cup. So it all adds up to a situation where potentially you're looking at $4 plus about a horse who's only narrowly been beaten, is better placed and healthier and fitter.
Interesting.
Having said all that, I'm going with Sohi Tribeca clearly to win the race. Over Shadow Sacks, I think Stars Align is the most intriguing runner in the race because he's an exceptional horse. I thought he was probably the best three-year-old on Victorian soil in the great entirety of things last season. He's come back. He was only 1.1 metres away from Jalibi Kung Fu in a sub-152 four-year-old Bonanza. He's going to find the pegs, I reckon. Gee, if he was 100% back with Dean Braun, he could give these a scare. And beyond them, Code Black and Brello's Pass are both nice horses, but not capable of winning 6, 5, 3 and 4.
Nothing to add from me. It's pretty much what you see is what you get from the market.
And the last leg of the quaddie is the Group 3 Scotch Notch Memorial over the 22.40. There are no scratchings. Tornado Valley is $1.45, fixed with Tab. Cavalli Blur is at 4. Our 2010 is at 7, and then Sky Petite is at 12. Open $1.80, Tornado Valley with Tab into $1.45. So again, we've got a shorty here, Bonners.
It's one of those things it feels silly and feels right all at the same time that it should be $1.45. It won the Group 1 Grand Prix. It's dropping back in class, has the pole mark and draw, has indicated now it has the gate speed, which it didn't show in New Zealand, I don't think, at any stage. But showed, obviously, in the Grand Prix that it does have the gate speed to use a good alley. It's got the best of all alleys here in the pole marking draw. Should lead, should win. Having said that, it's going to be very hard to jump in at $1.45.
When you miss the 12s.
Yeah. Well, I thought 12s was under, but in the Grand Prix. But clearly, he's a very nice horse, and he should be leading and winning here. Kai Valley Blue, I've got big doubts about where he's at. You'd have to say he's the major danger because he's likely to be trailing the $1.45 favourite, and because he's a Group 1 winner only 4 starts ago. But his peak efforts are few and far between and have been for quite some time. He's an ageing horse, but gets the conditions to suit. Into the Unknown is a horse I do believe can win a Group 1 race at some point. So she has to be competitive in a Group 3. We know her lack of tactical nous, for want of a better term, usually precludes her from winning these races. But if she happened to get it all right, I think she's probably the other winning chance. And Sky Petite doesn't normally win at this level, Baker, particularly from gate 7. But she's a really nice mare, and she must go into your exotic wages, 1, 8, 3, and 7 in the Scotch Notch.
Yeah, I feel pretty similarly. I mean, Tornado Valley has sort of put a gap on the rest after leaving Sparkling Success, the only horse that could challenge him. So there's no real reason to doubt it, particularly given he came off a good second to Red Hot Tooth prior. So it all looks his race, really.
Feels silly, feels right. Welcome to the world of being a Melbourne Football Club supporter, gentlemen. And the last race, race number 9 at 10 bells. Scratch number 4 quickly. Who's going to win?
Going to go 2, 1, 5, and 9 here. Angel of Art should be too good for these. Sarge, what a weird race that was at Bort. What a weird race. But should lead here from the pole marking draw. Won't be too far away. Son of Major has really good gate speed. If he could ping them at the start, it'd be some sort of chance. And number 9, Valder, who was the one who upset Sarge in the qualifier at Bort, goes in for 4th, 2, 1, 5, and 9, Baker.
Nothing for me. My best Santa Cruiser, I think you can back her really confidently 1 by 4. And I think we'll double down with hashtag, hey. I'm going to suggest he's worth a bet, are you two?
Oh, I'm going to say he's worth a bet, definitely. And in terms of playing for a bit of value, I'm growing in confidence that Mr. Wickham can potentially win that Quest for Success Stampede Race 4 in the program at 7:30.
Where do we get the form, gentlemen?
Goodform.drot.com.au. And before we leave you, JT, I just want to find out, you decided to bring it up. Where are Melbourne going to finish in 2018?
6th.
I say 10th.
I've got them in the top 8, around the same place as you, JT.
Thank you, lads.
Thanks, John. Mate.